Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So who is going to win a Super Bowl first in their new spot? Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton? That's the matchup tonight, Thursday Night Football, the Chargers and the Broncos. Got some playoff stuff on the line, too. Both teams can clinch this week. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Hi. First coach to win a Super Bowl in their new place, Pearl. Who do you have?
I think the question is flawed, first of all.
Wait a minute.
Jim Harbaugh. Okay. Because he has Justin Herbert. That is just overwhelmingly the cheat code here. That being said, I mean, it's really hard to win a Super Bowl because, as you know, even if you have the second best quarterback in the NFL, Josh Allen, you might not win a ring. I think, you know, maybe Josh Allen will get this year. I think that it's all about the quarterback in this case because they're both really good coaches. I got to admit, I've been watching the Chargers a lot lately, and they are not perfectly coached right now. Harbaugh is sort of coaching like it's 2012 in game management style. Mm. He's not super aggressive, and now I think he needs a little adjustment time. You watch Chargers this year. Like, whatever that Harbaugh thing is, it hasn't taken effect yet. So I think we forgot. When we came in this year, we said he's going to need 2 years to be a Jim Harbaugh team. That's definitely happening. Like, the Chargers are not an elite threat in my mind. They will be down the road, but it's still really hard. He's a great coach, right? And he did not win last time. So I think it's going to be hard for both of them, but I definitely think Justin Herbert's the edge for the Chargers.
All right. Well, I mean, you're right because Herbert's the better quarterback. They both are in a tough spot because the division, you have the Chiefs there and all of that. I just think Sean Payton is the better coach. And you might be right about Harbaugh. You know, the immediate impact that he has, you're still seeing, which is, you know, the team is a lot more organized. They're definitely looks like they're going to make the playoffs. I would say definitely going to make the playoffs, which was not a given before the season started. So there's a lot of good things with Harbaugh, but I think that Sean Payton is ultimately the better coach. And, you know, I think Sean Payton, we don't know what Bo Nix could be. Is he going to be Justin Herbert? Probably not. Most likely not. But here's the thing. If anyone can put the quarterback they have in the position to succeed, I think that it's going to be Sean Payton doing that with Bo Nix. You know, we thought maybe we knew what the ceiling was with Nix. I don't think that's the case. I don't think we have any idea. And Sean Payton, talk about, you know, having to hit the ground and then getting obstacles just in your face. You know, having to move on from Russell Wilson, having to take that massive dead cap hit, having to navigate this new building, new ownership, all of these things that go on with the Broncos. I just think once he hasn't even really gotten his arms around this thing. And by the way, the Denver Broncos were picked to win like five games this year. And they're going to be a playoff team. How they are a playoff team is like a minor miracle, and that's the Sean Payton effect. So where he takes the team from here, I think is, I would put my money behind Sean Payton winning a Super Bowl with the Broncos before Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, minor miracle or crazy easy schedule?
He's in the AFC West. Can't say that. Cannot say that.
Okay, let's look at some of these wins here. You know, the Jets, the Raiders, they get two wins over the Raiders. The Falcons, who stink. Carolina, they got the NFC South this year. That's why that record is so good. That's why, by the way, the Chargers are no different than the Brandon Staley Chargers right now. You say that they're all organized and stuff. They're basically the same 10-7 team who's going to go out in the first round as the Brandon Staley team. What's the difference?
Okay, so it doesn't sound like you think much of Jim Harbaugh.
No, I do. I think Harbaugh is going to be a good coach, but like, there's nothing about this Chargers team that is special. And I think he doesn't even like the team that much. Like, I think he's gonna build something a little different than what we see this year. So, but Peyton, on the other hand, like, where's this high? You know, Peyton's been coaching since 2006 and won one Super Bowl with the Saints, and everything had to go perfectly there, including possible bounties on Brett Favre. So I don't think that it's a guarantee that Sean Payton can do this thing. I think the Broncos are another team that's been mostly a schedule team. Like, they're good. But you saw the Indianapolis game last week. Like, that was that easily could have gone the Colts' way. And that was in Denver. They did pull out at the end, but did that impress you? No.
Pull it out in the end. They won 31-13. They got into a bit of a deficit because Bonix is a rookie and he was throwing picks. And then they completely changed up the game plan and they ended up having basically what was a blowout in the second half. This is the Sean Payton effect, I'm telling you.
No, they were about to go down 20-10.
I know.
In late in third quarter, and Jonathan Taylor fumbled at the goal line.
Well, he didn't fumble. He dropped the ball, right?
Right. Well, I mean,
over the goal line. Yes, they got a couple gifts, but you know what? That doesn't matter in the playoffs. See, that's the thing. To me, it's all about getting into the postseason and then see what happens there. I've already told you, Sean Payton came into Buffalo last year with Russell Wilson in a worse team than he has now, and he beat the Bills, a much better team. I don't think that Sean Payton is worried about going on the road in the postseason and playing a quarterback that on paper is going to be much better than his quarterback. I mean, he's doing this all with a rookie, for goodness sakes. Yeah. Rookie quarterbacks making the playoffs in general is a massive deal. Let's not let CJ Stroud cloud this thing. This is not normal. And the fact that they're a 9-win team, you can say schedule, whatever, dude. I mean, they could also have lost a lot of games on the schedule, and they didn't.
I don't think so. I think if it had gone a different way, they'd be closer to a 5-win team. I think they lose that first round playoff game, and it could be in Buffalo.
That's what I'm. But yeah. I watched Sean Payton win in Buffalo last year with a worse team.
I think, in a regular season, I think they lose by 2 touchdowns in a playoff game. I mean, first of all, since you're a Bills fan, you're scared of everybody. But these are both Payton and Harbaugh. You will admit they are in the beginning stages of this project. And Payton, I know, it's been there a little longer.
Well, we're not asking who's winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah,
we're
just
asking
who's
going to be the first one.
So let's say pretend it's a blank slate, and you have Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton. I would still give the edge to Jim Harbaugh because I feel like Sean Payton is winning at the margins, and I don't think he's going to be able to do that all the way to the Super Bowl. I don't see him recreating. There's no signs of the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees yet.
He's been there for 2 years, and he had last year Russell Wilson and this year Bo Nix. You can't get two more different types of veteran guy who's been around for 15 years and then rookie. Like, you're telling me if you went into a playoff matchup, okay, and maybe besides Andy Reid, but let's be honest, the Broncos should have won that game in Kansas City if it wasn't for a blocked field goal. The Chiefs got so lucky to win that game. But you're telling me that you wouldn't put Sean Payton up against Sean McDermott, coaching matchup that favors Sean Payton.
You know they're going to lose that game. Sean Payton's going to lose that game.
Well, but again, we're not talking about Super Bowl necessarily this year. I'm talking about in the future, who's going to be the first one. And I'm giving you AFC coaches.
Go ahead.
Who are like factors now and you think are going to be factors in the future. If Sean McDermott gets to stay with the Buffalo Bills, right? You will always give Sean Payton a coaching edge over Sean McDermott. I think you would give Sean Payton the coaching edge over D'Amico Ryans. No disrespect to Ryans. Come on, dude.
Dude, that Ryan-Slowick combo, I think they could be something. I think that could be a future force in this NFL. I am really into D'Amico Ryans.
You're
I think he's. Oh, come on. You don't think D'Amico Ryans is a good coach? Just give him time. He's young.
I never said he wasn't good. I'm just saying, if you actually put on paper who wins the coaching matchup between Super Bowl champion Sean Payton and in his second year as a head coach D'Amico Ryans, and even moving forward, I'm giving it to Sean Payton. I'm going to continue.
I hear what you're saying, but I feel like D'Amico Ryans is absolutely building something. But go ahead.
Okay. What about Mike Tomlin? I think that's even. And maybe even a little towards Payton. If you're giving me John Harbaugh, do you think John Harbaugh and Sean Payton, these guys are on the same tier, in my opinion? Andy Reid, listen, Reid might get the nod. But by how much? Not much. We're talking about creme de la creme coaches here, guys. And Sean Payton is one of them. And case in point, these Denver Broncos are a 9-win team and a playoff team. And nobody expect them to do jack. So if I'm looking forward, and Sean Payton's also not going anywhere either. Like, I don't know about Jim Harbaugh. How long is he going to stay with the Chargers? Is he going to be there to watch this thing all the way through? Or is he going to be like 3 or 4 years, and if they don't get it done, he's going to wear out his welcome? I think Sean Payton, who spent how many years in New Orleans? Almost 20? He's going to be in Denver. He's retiring a Denver Broncos head coach.
He's already 60.
Who?
Payton.
So, I mean, now, guys, Bill Belichick's 72. He could coach for another 12 years.
Do you feel like that strong connection with Sean Payton in Denver? I have not sensed that at all.
I think it's building. I think it's definitely building. I don't think he took this just for the paycheck. I think he took this because he has a chance to have his fingerprints all over this thing. He's the guy there.
God, I don't see these Broncos the same way, like as a sleeping giant with Sean Payton. Maybe I'm being naive. Maybe I'm looking at them like the 2006 Saints, who kind of snuck into the playoffs and then eventually became a juggernaut. But all these reasons, just like nothing is, it's still not convincing me. I'm not there. I feel like, yes, Sean Payton's getting a lot of money and he enjoys the golf in Denver. It's just not New Orleans.
And the wins.
It's not New Orleans. I mean, come on, look at this. Like they beat up, so what? They beat the Falcons, who are so real.
Okay, but again.
It's just like, again, no, but
You're looking at this season. We're asking who's going to win a Super Bowl.
I know.
First,
I've seen two years of Sean Payton. I don't feel like he is, at this point of his career, like going to do the full rebuild and just build a culture like he did with the Saints. I don't know why. I have trouble imagining that.
He's already doing it. Because here's the thing. You look at some of the games that they have won this year or games they should have won this year. What's the first thing? I think is who's Parcells, Belichick, one of those guys always said, the first thing you got to learn to do in the NFL is not to lose.
Right. Like how he lost to the Chiefs on a blocked field goal.
They should have won that game. They should have absolutely won that game. That's so fluky. And that would have been a signature win for Bo Nix to win in Arrowhead. And maybe people would have been looking at this a little bit differently. But I'm just saying, when you have a coach like Sean Payton, you already come in kind of knowing how not to lose in the bigger picture. So this is where, that's the ground floor. You don't have to work on that. You don't have to overcome, you know, these gaffes. And maybe you could say the same for Jim Harbaugh. But I think that the baseline of where they're starting is so much higher because of Sean Payton's acumen. And so from there, where do you go with like the future unlimited with Bo Nix?
I think you're actually reading coaches the wrong way. I think what Sean Payton did in New Orleans was like, it was a lightning strike in the NFL. Like his offense was crazy. I just think in his second job later in his career, it's going to be hard to get all that going. It reminds me of most retreads do not work. Andy Reid did, and I guess Dick Vermeil eventually did. But more typically, it's like Jimmy Johnson. He was a great coach in Dallas. Then he goes into Miami. And it's just not the same. It's hard to recreate that energy. I got to tell you, I think Harbaugh has a better chance of Payton because it feels like I feel like Harbaugh has more energy than Payton. Like he is just like he seems like he's chomping at the bit to sort of redefine everything. Where I don't get that sense from Payton. I feel like Payton is a little less enthusiastic. Maybe you could be right by the results, but I just don't feel like he is like attacking this project like Jim Harbaugh is and will do in the next few years.
I think it's really unfair. It's unfair to say that because he's molding a rookie QB, whereas Jim Harbaugh comes in with maybe what some people believe could be one of the best quarterbacks in the league with Justin Herbert. The assignment for Sean Payton is so much different. And also, like, how do you judge enthusiasm? I mean, I'm watching Sean Payton scream at people on the sidelines. He's doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's unfair to a guy who's gotten results from this team. To say he's checked out or that he's not giving the full max, like, attention, I think that's an unfair characterization.
Yeah, but
we wouldn't know that.
I do feel like there is something like there's going to be a young Sean Payton who's coming up after him. It might be D'Amico Ryans. I know he's a defensive coach, but I do feel, I mean, let's face it, in a big game, somehow or other, Sean McVay outcoached Sean Payton. Was it McVay back in the 2017?
I mean, did they get the luckiest call on the face of the earth? That was like, defensive pass interference that didn't get called is one of the all-time bad no calls in the history of the league.
Saints should have blown them out of that game. That Rams team was not ready to be there. It was basically Aaron Donald in a prayer. But regardless, I'm just not so sold on Sean Payton's second act like being like the first. And there's nothing this season that to me, I know the record. I know they're making the playoffs. I just look at the way the schedule fell. Show me the win like that. They really, really, really impressed you. You might say these wins over the NFC South, but I think those teams stink. Like Atlanta, they blew the doors off Atlanta. I'm totally aware of that. But this is an Atlanta team that had to go field goal for field goal against the Raiders. I just don't know what that means.
Well, I can just tell you that the Chargers barely beat the Falcons. And the Chargers are enjoying the same type of schedule that the Broncos are because they play in the same division. So if you're going to say you think that the Broncos got fat on a bad schedule, then you've got to say the same thing about the Chargers. The same thing applies. And I just think if you're looking at
the totally
big picture.
I totally agree. I think the Chargers are phony too.
If you're looking big picture and we ask you who's likely to win a Super Bowl first, is it Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers or is it Sean Payton with the Broncos? EJ, can we throw the poll up on X at MMP? Just got a big thumbs up there. So that's a little of what we're thinking about as Thursday Night Football gets started tonight. Broncos, Chargers. There is some playoff stuff on the line as well. Both teams can clinch this week. Not tonight, but once the week is over, they need some losses, ties, get Steve Kornacki back out, dust him off.
Yeah, I mean, they're both in really good position here. Yep. I do wonder, like, who comes out flat knowing that the playoffs are probably in here. Ed, the problem with the Chargers are not that.
Herbert's got an injury.
Yeah, since J.K. Dobbins got hurt, they look terrible on offense because running
Tampa
backs.
Tampa Bay smoked them.
yeah. They just do not look like the same team that they did early in the season. I think that Dobbins injury was huge. But that being said, like this game feels like a toss-up. Man, I don't know if we're picking this game at the end of the show. This is tough, right? Doesn't this feel like this is going to come down to two plays?
Absolutely. 855-212-4227. And Tampa Bay ended up smoking them basically from the middle of the third quarter on. That actually was a pretty tight game at halftime.
Oh, right. The Chargers were leading, right?
And then they sort of turned it on. I want to characterize that the right way. But the final score was 40-17. 855-212-4227. Who's more likely to win a Super Bowl in their second stop as NFL head coaches? Is it Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers? Is it Sean Payton with the Broncos? And those two teams square off tonight.
All right, Maggie, this is so much fun because you can get in on this game on Prize Picks. The best way to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in award winnings. It makes daily fantasy sports accessible to all. The app's simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on the prediction, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money. Tonight, I definitely am going all in on Bo Nix, just in case you're right.
All-time hedge. I love it. Well, it's December. We call that Picksmas around here. Why not? And in December, Prize Picks is giving away two free picks all month long. This is the time to get in on the action on Prize Picks. And if I see you guys on the other side of the glass, got a little Carl Anthony Towns, more than 13.5 rebounds, and maybe you want to pair that up with Steph Curry, more than 23.5 points. Justin Herbert, more than 230.5 passing yards. This is what I love about Prize Picks. You can just mix and match your sports because you know we're watching all this stuff. All you got to do, download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, we got to pull up today. Who wins the Super Bowl first? Sean Payton or Jim Harbaugh?
with their current team. We know Peyton already won one.
Right. Oh, yeah. You're right. 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 Who wins it? Well, who wins the Super Bowl first? I think that the English is still valid on that one.
Yeah. Yes, the English is valid. I don't want people to think we forgot about Sean Payton's other Super Bowl.
Okay. I would actually, and I'd take D'Amico Ryans over both of them, unlike you. I think it's really hard to win a Super Bowl. We have to remember that because, listen, it's got to be your turn this year. It's like the Bills have to win one first, and then you got the Chiefs.
I think the Ravens might think it's their year, too.
Do you think the Ravens think it's their year? I think they're definitely down. This is, of the four-year stretch for the Ravens, this is probably one of the worst years.
Well, but it's a healthy Lamar year, and yeah, the defense isn't what we're used to with the Ravens, but Lamar's having an unreal season. Like, we're forgetting about him with the MVP because Allen seems to have already wrapped it up, but Lamar Jackson could easily be winning the MVP this season again.
Yeah.
He's been awesome.
But it's definitely like, I definitely feel like the Ravens are way down from last year because their defense stinks.
Maybe this would be the perfect time for the Ravens to actually pull this off.
Yeah, maybe less pressure on the Ravens.
Fewer expectations. But yeah, we've been asking you this morning, Sean Payton with the Broncos or Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers, who do you think will win a Super Bowl first? And obviously, they square off tonight.
You could also do the question, who do you think is more likely to win a playoff game this year? So that it's going to be, they're both going to be underdogs. It's going to, especially the Chargers feel like the injury bug is always looming around there. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's if the Chargers win tonight, that's two wins over the Broncos this year. That sort of puts them on a higher ranking than the Broncos. I mean, the Broncos, I know you dismiss it, Maggie, but that schedule is light.
Yeah, but it's the same thing for the Chargers. Like, yeah, they basically have the same schedule.
True, but I feel like they're kind of like Indiana Hoosiers football. Like, we just don't know. Or Notre Dame football. Like, it just feels like the NFC South and the AFC South have screwed up everything for everybody this year. That's why all the NFC North teams are 14-2, because the schedules are so imbalanced this year. I'm not sure we've ever had such a have and have not of the divisions, and it's messing with everything.
Yeah, but, you know, easy schedule. Still got to play the two-time defending Super Bowl champs.
So that's
no
games.
Picnic.
That's two games.
But still. Let's go to Mel. He's in Dallas. Good morning, Mel. You want to talk about Sean Payton?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking the call. I think it will be Sean Payton that wins it first, and not because I have confidence in Sean Payton's coaching ability or the team in Denver. It's just that every one of you guys on the radio and the sports analysts tout how great San Diego is going to be every year, and they flop. So for that reason, I don't have any confidence in San Diego, but I have even less confidence in San Diego than I do in Denver. And then just as a side note, to compare Sean Payton to Mike Tomlin is a travesty.
Why?
Sean Payton has one Katrina Super Bowl. Mike Tomlin has multiple Super Bowls in an open dome stadium in one of the toughest places to play in the country. When you compare those two with all those great teams Sean Payton had in New Orleans, it is no comparison. There is no comparison to Mike Tomlin with Sean Payton.
Well,
put somebody else in there, but not that guy.
Okay. Well, Mel, a couple things there. Number one, fading sports talk radio hosts is probably a good idea. We do always fall for the Chargers.
And it
usually comes back to bite us, so solid there. Just a quick point on the resume. Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton both have the same number of rings. They've got one. Now, Mike Tomlin went to a second Super Bowl. He famously lost to the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. Right now, playoffs in terms of their records, pretty close. Sean Payton is 9-8 in the postseason. Mike Tomlin is 8-10. So one guy's not blowing all the other guy. And the last time they both had a playoff win, 2020 for Sean Payton, where the last playoff win for Mike Tomlin was back in 2016. So, I mean, you want to say Mike Tomlin's a way better coach? I don't know. Sean Payton had some pretty awful quarterbacks once Drew Brees retired. Same thing with Mike Tomlin. They haven't been able to find somebody since Ben Roethlisberger. I think the guys are a lot more alike than they are different.
Yeah, I feel like their resumes are almost identical in many ways.
Yeah, and then you get the whole Mike McCarthy one Super Bowl club thing. That's what I worry, that is Sean Payton going to be Mike McCarthy, you know, basically second chance and never even come close? It's possible. It's within the realm of possibility. If you want to go playoff record, then Kyle Shanahan's the GOAT right now, because that guy's playoff record's amazing.
Yeah, but then what happens when
the Super Bowl record.
Super Bowl
record, not good.
Yada yada yada.
But and... yeah. I think the winning percentage. I think he's 8-4 in the playoffs. That's pretty good.
And you know who else I think is on his tail is going to be Matt LaFleur.
No, LaFleur lost a lot.
But his winning percentage is crazy, much higher than you think.
Yeah, but I think his postseason's really bad.
Because, let me check that while I get to Brad in Alabama, who wants to weigh in on the college football playoff, guys. Starts tomorrow. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's up, M&P? Y'all doing well today?
We're doing awesome. We got football to talk about. This is the best.
Maggie, man, why don't you and Perloff have that sponsorship from Smith & Wesson and the M&P Shield, since y'all talk about the NFL Shield?
I don't know. I don't know the reference.
Smith & Wesson, one of their guns that a lot of cops use is an M&P Shield. You got Maggie and Perloff, M&P. I mean, y'all totally should have it.
Is this a critique that we're not talking enough college football?
Yes. But back to Dabo Swinney. Now, you know, one thing, if you look at the transfers, Perloff, the offense efficiency across the country has been down.
Yeah.
And obviously, definitely, the defensive teams have the edge in the playoffs. And that smart dude, Dave Bartu at College Football Matrix, man, he tells stories with numbers. But I think Dabo goes up there. I think Sark is a Ryan Day. I think he's not going to win a big game.
Yeah.
I mean, that oblique of Ewers and what's going on. Do they play Ewers? Do they play Manning? I mean, Dabo's got the experience. He's not going to back down.
But, Brad, doesn't Texas have pretty good defense, too? I mean, they have certainly a lot of pro defensive players on that squad.
Oh, they probably got 4 pro defense players at least right now. Yeah. I agree, Perloff. But against Georgia the second time for the SEC title, they didn't even show up.
Yeah, I do get that. I totally think there's that Ryan Day, Sark connection, you know, and Lincoln, and you put Lincoln Riley in that discussion too, right? Like the offensive genius who you're not sure is tough enough to win the big game.
Brad,
I get
thank
that.
You for the call.
Yeah, that sort of is a vibe around college football. I think those 3 guys jump to mind, and Lane Kiffin. That's 4 guys who, like, you know, the offense can be really good, but do they have that Nick Saban tough enough to win a title thing?
Okay, are we completely discounting the fact that Texas did win a game last year in the college football playoff? No, they lost to Washington. Whoops, they didn't. Oh, man, Mags. Yeah, listen, I think you got to give Sark just a little bit more time, no? Before we give him big game
chokers? Well, no, this is like their stack this year. So, no, I mean, if they can't do it with Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning at quarterback, and a bunch of other pros all over the field, I'm not sure
that this is going to happen.
Yeah, Brad hit it. Like, this is going to be a big test for Sark. Can he avoid that big game choker kind of stereotype? Because it's coming.
Yeah, Texas does not have a win over a top 25 team this year. Totally understand that. The SEC championship game was not awesome. Yeah, I mean, does he get there up there with James Franklin, Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, oh, Franklin, that's another one. Kiffin, I don't know if... Kiffin probably hasn't gotten to enough big games lately to be a big game choker. I mean, obviously, to me, the guy is like Lincoln Riley. Like, are they ever, is a Lincoln Riley team is going to roll during the regular season? Are they going to be tough enough to win? Because you saw that Georgia win over Texas. That was pure toughness. That backup quarterback just running over guys.
Man.
Like, it's more than just, you can't scheme your way to a title typically.
855-212-4227. Luckily for Brad and everybody, Clemson is my upset pick. Have them as the big mover and shaker in this college football playoff, which just got the attention of Pat Boyle, who's sitting in with us today. Hey, Pat.
Hey, morning. Yeah, and you think they win outright or just cover?
No, win.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my upset pick. And looking at that side of the bracket with Dabo Swinney, we're talking about people who have won titles, won Super Bowls, whatever. Dabo Swinney has the championship pedigree. And if you know, the fact that Tennessee and Ohio State have to play each other in the first round, and the winner of that team is going to take on Oregon, maybe there's an upset that happens there, which gives Clemson an even easier path, because they would play the winner of, they'll play Arizona State.
Yeah, who's favored, Clemson, Arizona State? I was wondering that.
Clemson.
If they
beat Texas, absolutely.
Oh, if they beat Texas, yeah.
Yeah, because they'll be coming off of a major
I feel
win.
Like if they played now, I think Arizona State might be. I mean, they would just run Camp Scatabue just right down the heart of that Clemson defense.
If Dabo Swinney beats Texas, he'll no longer have just the championship pedigree. He'll have the portal pedigree. It'll no longer be about just the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Everybody and the mother is going to go to Clemson to play for him. No.
Now he's got Belichick on his corner in the ACC.
Wait. You're saying if they win one game, everyone's going to go to Clemson?
Well, he finally got the first ever transfer portal player. He got a receiver from some, no offense, some nobody you school. Reference Doug Gottlieb. We'll hear more about that. But, he's never gotten anybody else in the transfer portal. Can you imagine how many players will flock there?
Wait, but I thought
if they beat Texas?
I thought you were going to go the other way. If they beat Texas and if they go on a little run here, or just even beat Texas and say they lose to Arizona State, does it prove that Dabo was correct in not dipping into the portal like everyone else? Does this prove that his way works, which is guy gets on campus and they say, we'll make a commitment to you, but you've got to make a commitment to us. You've got to be here for 3 years, blah, blah, blah.
Perhaps, but also then if I'm a college football player, I will want to go to Clemson just because I'll say, whoa, all right, Clemson back on the map.
Yeah, but you don't think guys have been wanting to go to Clemson? It's not like they were winning championships in the 80s. It's not Nebraska.
Do you believe Dabo when he said, hey, it works both ways? When he kind of said that maybe, you know, they didn't get the kind of interest they thought they were going to get from the players that they would want?
I think this is totally a Dabo thing. I think players would go to Clemson in a heartbeat. First of all, you're playing in the ACC, so you do have maybe, I don't say easier shot, but you might have a better shot of making the playoff. Dabo's got a championship program there. I think he's the one saying no thanks to the transfers, not the transfers.
Okay. That's so funny. I've heard no buzz about Clemson. You're like, moving forward, like Clemson's going to be a school choice. They're not cool anymore, are they?
Yeah, like their moment passed.
Yeah.
Texas and the moment will be back.
Yeah, this is their chance, though.
Yeah, this is a chance to get back in there. But, I mean, they just are coming off. They lost to South Carolina. Then they kind of held off SMU, who was a mess early in the game. Like, they haven't been great this year. There's no way to avoid that fact.
No, it's been a bad Clemson year, which is why a lot of people think they'd be here.
No doubt. And I think they're going to pull off the upset.
I kind of agree.
All right. Well, we're sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season is heating up, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME. Or Man P.
Use it both.
I've got PRIMETIME. So code PRIMETIME and get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it is lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Bowl season continued last night with two games. Number 24 UNLV beat Cal 24-13 at SoFi Stadium, finishing off the best season in program history. I mean, what a job Barry Odom did in 2 years there. He left for Purdue before the game, but they finished with 11 wins, only the second time ever in program history. Last time they notched double-digit wins, 1984, when the NCAA eventually vacated all of their wins. Do you remember why?
1984?
Yeah.
For UNLV?
They were using ineligible players.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I didn't research into it. I'm guessing they were using players that were not actually enrolled fully in the school.
That makes sense. UNLV?
No, I mean, I believe it. I just thought that was more of a run-of-the-mill academic scandal that they were taking improper benefits. No?
Perhaps. Okay. That's a bad job by me coming on the air and not having all the facts.
What do you think we are, Wikipedia?
Can you name two people who could have been on that 84 UNLV team?
Dan Marino.
What do you mean could have been? What does that mean?
I just can't remember if he was there. I think two quarterbacks that were on that team.
Tom Brady.
One is obvious.
84?
Lamar Jackson.
Well, I don't understand the nature of this trivia question that you're asking us here. Is it someone who's on the team or someone who could have been on the team? And I don't even know what that means.
Okay, hold on. Go back. I think there are two famous people that were playing quarterback for UNLV in 1984, right around that time.
I don't know any famous people played
quarterback. I was going to say, Perlo, if you're going to come with this trivia question, you have to have the answer.
Well, one is obviously Randall Cunningham, UNLV. But who's the other is the trick one.
So are you just asking who are the most famous quarterbacks to play
for UNLV? No, who was on the
UNLV?
1984 UNLV football? Who are the two famous quarterbacks on the UNLV football team in 1984? That seems pretty clear.
Okay,
You guys know Randall went to UNLV, right?
No, Randall.
He's like Mr. Vegas.
We didn't know who else was on, what year he was on the team.
I didn't know
us.
Randall went to UNLV.
Yeah, he's like a Vegas guy. I think Kenny Mayne was his backup.
Oh,
and
was that
the
right?
reason I say that is because he's talked about it a million times.
You know,
I think Kenny Mayne was on
familiar
there.
Now.
This was actually a pretty good question. You guys just did wrap your head around it.
The presentation I had an issue. By the way,
I found the players were found to be ineligible because they had taken general equivalency diploma tests to gain high school diplomas after they had entered junior college, and then they had three other players who they didn't take gym courses in high school, or they did, and that's how they got their GPA over 2.0. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Also, Icky Woods was on this team. I did not know that.
Okay, so it doesn't look like Kenny Mayne was on this team. I'm looking at his Sports Reference for college football, and he was the quarterback at UNLV in 1980 and 1981.
Oh, okay. So he was not. He was gone. But maybe sat there as a backup. All right, well, Icky Woods.
No, he wasn't on the team. Oh, you're thinking that just because he had no stats?
Maybe. I thought he played with Randall. I remember him talking about that, or he recruited him. Okay, so I was wrong.
Okay.
But if you guys know, Kenny Mayne was a quarterback at UNLV. That's one of my favorite little tidbits of all time.
I am today years old when I learned that Randall Cunningham played at UNLV, Kenny Mayne played at UNLV. This is all fresh. I feel like Manny talking about the 90s. I didn't know any of this stuff. This is all new to me.
Kenny Mayne in person, thick guy, too. You could see, he looks like a former quarterback.
Like one that wears a flak jacket, too.
Yeah, but he doesn't look like that on TV. Like, he's Mr. Clever, quick guy. You're like, that guy's an athlete?
Mm. Anyway. So it looks like he and Randall did overlap one season. He was a senior and Randall was a freshman. There you go.
I'm going to have to rework this trivia question.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But also.
You need to know the answer if you're going to ask it.
Also, Icky Woods was on that team. Like, UNLV football was a thing in 84. Those are three names we definitely know.
Yeah. Anyway.
The game, so.
Let's get some NFL sound here. How about Brian Callahan? Been a disappointing season, to say the least, for the Titans. They're 3-11, benching Will Levis for Mason Rudolph the rest of the way. And the first-year Titans head coach had to field a question yesterday about his team being soft. Here's what he had to say about that.
To be honest with you, I think that's complete and total bullshit, if you want my honest opinion. These guys are tough, man. They go after it every day. They play hard as hell. And there's at no point have we ever put on tape at any point this season that this is a soft football team. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around how that would even be a conversation. I mean, just because we don't win games doesn't mean we're soft.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't get this soft thing because everybody calls them dumb. Like, that is the overwhelming theme of this season. They have Will Levis doing stupid things. I've never heard soft. Just idiotic.
Sorry, what? Coach, we didn't mean soft. We meant dumb.
I mean, the fact that
we are not soft. We are stupid, but we are not soft is a great that would be an all-time defense.
A child could see that Mason Rudolph's better than Will Levis, and he just did not, for whatever reason, he listened to the front office and played Will Levis, and he might be one and done, he deserves it.
He basically said yesterday he's been playing through that AC joint sprain the entire season, so
I don't think he had a lot of power in this decision.
I do think you're right. I think he was hamstrung by the front office.
Listen, if this general manager, Rand Carthon, if he was, powerful enough to run Mike Vrabel off, who do you think is calling the shots between that and a rookie head coach?
And to be honest, it's better off they did play Levis, because now you got a higher draft pick. Like, Rudolph wins 5-6 games. Like, this team is garbage. Like,
yeah, they need,
I thought they'd be good, and they're not good at all. So they need a quarterback. They need high-end talent. Like,
definitely.
Maybe they said, okay, Will Levis sucks, but just keep trotting him out there. If he keeps losing, that's fine with us, because we know we need a high pick anyway.
They just lost a game to the Bengals where there are 25 penalties and 10 turnovers. Like, soft. I mean, moronic. You cannot play like this. They're an utter joke this season.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, so I don't know, what he should not be talking tough. I guess, soft is that a code word for coaches that don't like that?
No, obviously not. Football
but no
coaches,
coach ever wants to hear their team is soft.
No
you
way.
Can say you're bad, but not soft.
And I think that it maybe implies that they've quit on him towards the end of this season, which, as a rookie head coach, you never want to have that on your label.
That's fair. Can we put that as a poll question? What's the bigger insult, being called soft or dumb? Stupid?
Definitely soft. It's definitely soft.
Yeah, absolutely. Meanwhile, several other quarterback changes this week. We can get into those next hour. But most notably, it's in Atlanta, the fallout of benching Kirk Cousins and turning the keys over to Michael Penix Jr. for the 7-7 Falcons continues. Kirk Cousins spoke yesterday. He wants to make one thing clear to everybody.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback. Certainly turnovers were not what you want, but I didn't forget how to play.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm just beyond injured.
No. This is
about the Achilles, right? Is that what he's implying? No. Is that I'm just not 100%?
You've seen the interceptions. Like, no Achilles injury on earth leads to those. Like, those are ridiculous mental mistakes.
Yeah, he's totally rattled the last one.
Yeah, he's like throwing it into four defenders.
But isn't that, don't you think that part of it is because his body, he doesn't have like his lower body, he's not able to get any kind of like juice behind the throws.
Yeah, but I think it's more so he's never been a mobile quarterback, and he looks lost in the pocket too. I think a lot of these interceptions, from what I've seen, it's after he's got the happy feet and then he doesn't know what to do, and it's almost just like, you know, when you don't have that confidence, you're just kind of hoping that you put the ball where it needs to be. I mean, that one play on third down, he threw the ball 5 feet behind Ray McCloud.
Yeah.
And they gave Desmond Ritter nearly threw a Hail Mary to win it.
He had two shots at the Hail Mary.
The other thing, too, he had a stretch. I think it's mental because he had a stretch. He was good this year.
Yeah, on the Achilles. They were 6-3.
Yeah, he had good numbers. So something went awry with a vet, like in his head. And it might be the Achilles, right? Like you lose your confidence. But remember that pick where he rolled and threw that lob pass the Chargers caught in the end zone?
That was one of the worst throws I've ever seen.
That's the worst interception of the season. That's not on the Achilles. Something's off with Kirk. But I guess he didn't forget how to play football.
Really quickly, 60 seconds to play a little game here. Where do you think Michael Penix Jr. was when he got the call that he was going to start?
I know. I already read it.
I was actually shopping. I was shopping with my girlfriend. We was at Costco, and I got the call. And, you know, they told me that I was going to be the starting quarterback, you know, for the rest of the season. And, you know, as you can imagine, it was some nerves. It was excitement, you know. But I'm just super blessed to be in this position, you know, super blessed to be on this team for the opportunity.
And Perloff, do you know what he was eating at Costco?
Yeah, the hot dog. I spent a lot of time thinking about this last night. I'm like,
you knew more about this than the UNLV thing.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, get out of here. You guys didn't even know Randall went to UNLV. EJ, don't laugh. He can afford more than a $1 hot dog, right? Like, he's on a number 8 pick. What is going on here? Why is he eating those hot dogs? That's terrifying me.
Let's hear him.
I was actually getting a hot dog, and whenever I got the call, I wasn't hungry no more. So,
Costco hot dogs? I've never had one.
Apparently, they're a thing. I've never had one either, but I appreciate this. It's not about rich or poor. He just had a craving. He likes the hot dogs.
Costco hot dogs are awesome. Like, that's a must.
I think it's a thing there.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. You got it. Leave with a hot dog.
I find Costco extremely overwhelming. I want to be a Costco person, but I go in there and I'm a puddle.
It's
in the
definitely
corner.
Overstimulating, but once you get over that and you go to the checkout and there it is, $1.50 for a hot dog, some churros, it's all worth it. It's very much all worth it.
I gotta tell you,
I have the membership, I just don't go.
The one in Brooklyn, do not eat the hot dogs there. I'm just telling you that very specifically. Do not eat the Brooklyn hot dogs. They look like they've been there for about a week.
Well, it's a hot dog, so it'll probably survive some kind of nuclear bomb. Pat, thank you. We've got a lot more to do, including another celebrity taking over as head coach. We get to that next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, M&P. Perloff, one of your former quarterbacks played for the Philadelphia Eagles, now taking on a head coaching job. It's Michael Vick, who was hired as the head coach of Norfolk State. And, you know, I don't think he has any coaching experience, but he's got a lot of life experience. And I can imagine that he would be able to, you know, share that, might resonate with young people. I mean, he's been through it all.
Yeah, this is the sort of Dion 2.0, right? Former star player. I have to be honest, I get immediately nervous at players that, like, I just think of the NBA, like Chris Mullin and Clyde Drexler. Like, just being a great player doesn't mean you're going to be a great coach. So this
Magic
feels,
Johnson?
Magic Johnson. Yeah, you could go, I just, usually when they go back, Patrick Ewing going back to Georgetown, it's really hard. Like, there seems to be different muscles that make you a great coach and a great player. And Michael Vick, obviously, was just the most talented player on any field he walked onto. How do you translate to that to a young man? I'm very interested in how this is going to go, but generally, like, my immediate take is, oh, that's not going to work.
But you know what? With Dion, it's working.
Yeah, Dion, it worked. And also, too, Norfolk State is a potential building block.
Yeah.
You know, that's, he's not going to Auburn.
Right. So you have a little time to get your feet wet, under the radar a little bit, at least for, you know, from the national standpoint, and you get to kind of build. The one thing about what Dion did that at first I was very apprehensive about but end up working for him, that I think Michael Vick could also do, which is bringing guys from your NFL days and putting them as coaches. I mean, you guys know I thought Warren Sapp was going to be a terrible idea at Colorado. I'm like, something's going to happen. He's going to be a distraction. And to be honest, I was dead wrong about that, and I'll raise my hand and admit it. Pat Shurmur coming from the NFL as an offensive coordinator, other guys that he has around the program, all these NFL dudes. And so I have to imagine Michael Vick's network is one he could really tap into, or people from Virginia Tech, but where he went to college. But I'm very, very curious, because who knew that he had the coaching bug?
Well, also, too, is his son the best quarterback in the country?
That, I don't know.
That, and also, wait.
Like, well, probably a little young.
Dion, yeah, it's looked good, but I felt like the way you were talking about Dion is like he's sort of won a national title. Like,
he took over a one-win team.
4-8 and 8-3. But
he was good at Jackson State.
Which, yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he was in the championship games, right?
Yeah. But also, too, he again, because he came up through, his kid was in the 7-on-7 and stuff, so he knew all about Travis Hunter. Felt like Deion Sanders was particularly placed to do this. Mm. I don't know if Vic has the background that Deion had.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
Deion's known these kids, everybody. He's known this whole class. Like, everybody in college football know he's known since they were in eighth grade because of his kids.
Right, so maybe he has a little bit more tentacles kind of like into the scene, if you will. But honest, he's not really taking high school guys. Dion's working the portal. You know, these are transfers. So he may have a knowledge of the landscape, but he's also just working with the tools he has right now. The one thing about Michael Vick that's very different from Dion, and Michael Vick, Dion different from everybody, the personality. You know, I've gotten a chance to interview Michael Vick when he was on a book tour, when he was going through his whole image rehab, which, to be fair, he has totally lived his apology after the dogfighting stuff. But he's not this gigantic personality. He played big, and he was amazing to watch. But he's not the guy who's going to walk into the room. He's a little quieter, I found.
Yeah, I feel like as he gets older, he's got enough personality. That's not really my concern. Also, too, everyone's fascinated by Michael Vick. He's got a little bit of magnetism. He once yelled at me, by the way.
Really?
Not yelled at me. He didn't
Wait, we don't know.
He didn't like a question I asked him. It's the dumbest question I've ever.
For this, yeah, I could say it later. Question.
Actually, I'd rather not. Story. I'd rather. You know the story?
Yeah, you told me the
story. Oh, I'd rather not repeat it. It was so stupid.
Oh, we've got to hear it. We've got to hear it. We're up against the top of the hour. Okay, next hour, stay with us through the break. We will get the story of the time Michael Vick yelled at Perloff.
Yes.
Also, another person who's being asked to be a mentor in a little bit of a different way. But will he actually take the assignment?